Amen. You may be seated.
Awesome. So throughout the year, we have definitely we have opportunity to celebrate different people and different seasons in our life. And so as you come to the end of another school year, and this obviously being the most unique school year that we've had in ever. Just kind of absolute there. So we just want to take a moment and recognize our graduates. And so, like, as I was singing, I was trying to worship God, but then I was also just kind of asking for forgiveness because I really didn't prep any of the graduates for what's going to happen. And they're all like, oh, man, I hope he doesn't ask a hard question. And so here are the questions. So you can be thinking about it before I call your name up. So what do you want to be when you grow up? No, just kidding. What are you doing next? What are the plans? And what will you miss most about high school or college? And that piece of your life. Hello. I always wanted to like answer the phone and be like, hey, you're like right in the middle of a sermon. Corinne, come forward. You're the next contestant on The Price is Right. Look at this. This is Corona approved. You don't have to touch the microphone. All right. We gauged it off of her. There you go. All right. So what are you going to miss most about high school?
Probably the teachers.
Yeah? Awesome. Way to go. Right to the point. That's great. All right. Awesome. Did you have a favorite teacher?
Yeah.
Want to share? Miss Holmes. Okay. Hi, Miss Holmes. Okay. And then what are your future plans? What are you going to be when you grow up?
Probably going to go to Penn Tech for radiology and neurosurgery.
All right. Awesome. Very cool. Very cool. All right. We don't have the applause sign, the sign. All right. So the next graduate, that wasn't too hard, was it? You could don't go too far away. Just stand over there. Yeah. Okay. Hannah Lynn Schwarzer. She's going to come forward. Yeah, you can clap beforehand, too. I was trying all my questions on Hannah Lynn this morning, and I was failing at all of them. So the questions went from like 10 to 2 because they didn't pass Hannah's test. Okay, so Hannah, so what are you going to miss most about high school?
I'm going to agree with teachers.
All right. Way to be original. That's good.
Jesus.
Do you have a Jesus? Yeah. That's the answer to every question in church. Jesus. Do you have a favorite teacher?
Yeah, Mr. Reinhardt.
Mr. Reinhardt. Okay. I don't think they're watching. We should have called them. What's next? Where are you going next?
Gettysburg to major in health sciences.
Nice. Thanks, Hannah Lynn. Yeah. All right, Christian Koza. He's walking very slowly, thinking of his answer. All right, Christian. So, what about high school? What are you gonna miss?
Just spending time with my friends in school and their routine, getting up and going through school.
That's awesome, awesome. Do you have a favorite teacher? Not really.
Mrs. Koza.
Yeah. Woo! So what's next? Do you know what's next?
Yeah, I'm going to Bloomsburg, major in exercise science, and then go to physical therapy.
Nice. Thanks, Christian. Awesome. 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 Isaac Schroner. There he is. If I knew how to salute, I would, but I don't know. No? Please don't. He said, please don't. Okay. So Isaac, what are you going to miss about the last 4 years?
There was this great time during the day, every day of school at 3:10 when I got to leave.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's epic.
That was pretty good.
That was a pretty good one? Yeah, very nice, very nice. So one of the things about Isaac is his Eagle Scout project benefited Northway. And so he redid the landscaping here out in the front of the church. And so we're very, very grateful for Isaac. So, Isaac, what's next, buddy?
If all goes well, I'll be enlisting with the United States Air Force.
All right. Thank you. All right. Yeah, you can stay right there. That's awesome. Okay, and then Emma Fox. So we have the mature one, the college graduates. Come on. So, yeah. Save the story. Okay. So, wow, everybody's about the same height. That's really good. Okay. So, Emma, so what? Tell me a little bit about college. Was it fun? What are you going to miss about it?
It was good. It goes by fast. I did mine in 3.5 years, so it goes by fast.
Wow.
It was good.
Really cool, 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 cool. Did you have a favorite teacher at Houghton?
Okay. Not really. They were all good.
So, what do you want to be when you grow up? What are you doing now? What's next?
I'm a marketing coordinator at Papa Federal Credit Union in my field of study. So.
Awesome. Very cool. Awesome. 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 Very cool. Ryan Barr. It wasn't able to be with us today. And then Alex Reed was also, the Reeds have been attending recently, and so he wasn't able to be with us this morning either. So we had several graduates, and so we're grateful for these five. And, you know, one of the things I don't think you can overemphasize this, but we know this, those who have gone through stages, there are these points in life, right? Where there's just really pivot points where you're going a certain direction and life kind of causes you to pivot and you have to go a new direction. And that would be true for all five of these folks. And so we just pray that when God brings us to that pivot, that we really, really see God's hand at work in our lives. And these are just significant points where we can choose to kind of walk with the Lord and deepen our relationship with him as we go into new areas. Or if we don't, we kind of just go into that new area and we just kind of get relaxed and our need for him isn't there. And we just kind of can go different directions and find ourselves in places we don't really end up wanting to be. So I want to pray over our graduates and really just trust that in this moment that God is just really present. And allowing them to sense that he desires to go with them where they go next. So let me pray for you guys. Father in heaven, in Jesus' name, I thank you so very much, Lord, that Northway Community Church has five graduates. Lord, there are lots of churches that don't have five people. And so, Lord, thank you for these families that are represented. Thank you, God, for the quality human beings that these five are. And Lord, we pray over them. We pray over them blessing, certainly. We pray over them favor, of course. But God, what we pray most over them is we pray that awakening of your presence, Lord, that they would see that in each of their lives, you are crazy about them, that you desire to walk with them. You desire to be with them in the middle of the night, in the noonday sun. Lord, we trust that you are active and you're stirring in their lives. And I pray, Lord, I pray that each one of them desires to walk with Jesus. Each one of them desires to trust you. And each one of them desires to show and share you with others through their actions and their words. Father, thank you. For their lives. Thank you for their families. Thank you, God, for their commitment to education and their commitment to go on and continue in what you've gifted them to do. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. And thanks, guys. Good job. Wow. That's awesome. All right. So we've come to the conclusion of a sermon series called Dawn. And what we have been doing is we've been walking through one long night. And as I kind of framed it in the last over the last month, is that as I had this one restless night in my life on May 5th, 2020, I began to see it really mirrored what we go through in our lives. And so that in my one long dark night, I found myself at 1:25 a.m. wondering if the dawn or the sun would ever come up again. And I was forgetting the dawn. I was forgetting that every morning the sun comes up. And so then as I walked through the evening further to something in the morning. And I realized through the example of my wife and daughter that the way that you get through long dark nights is waiting together, and that God desires to wait with us through our long dark nights. And then as the night got even on further, we noticed that in the early morning, at 4:44, the songs before dawn, we realized that even when it hasn't been experienced, that even when you can't see the dawn, you can celebrate that it's coming. And so then last week we talked about at 6:01 in the morning that the dawn actually comes. You see the dawn. But this entire series, one of the things that kept looming out there is this message. And so this message is kind of titled Experiencing the Dawn. So it's 6:50 a.m. The sun is up. I've seen the dawn already. I've seen the sun. And now what am I going to do that what I've been waiting for eventually and ultimately came? And the question was, what am I going to do? And so in my specific real life example, at 6:50 a.m., I experienced the dawn by going and running outside. And so I was in the light and I used the light and I experienced the light. And I want to just frame this final message in that same light. When you and I see the dawn, when we leave the difficult hardships of that long, dark night and we enter into the sun, if you will, we enter into the dawn, the morning, what do we do with the dawn? Do we experience it? Do we live in it? Do we live out the dawn that the Lord has delivered? Let me say it this way. There's a story I heard of a street vendor who sold bagels. And so every day for months, this guy who was jogging by the vendor would take 2 quarters and throw it in the bucket, but never take a bagel. He did this day after day after day. 50 cents, he would throw 2 quarters in the bucket as he ran by. And so one day, the vendor wanted to stop the jogger. And so he said, oh, wait. And the jogger said, oh, I know what you're going to ask me. You're going to ask me why every day I throw 2 quarters in the bucket and I don't take a bagel. And the vendor said, no. I just stopped you to tell you the bagels are 60 cents now. Is that how we treat God? That we're ungrateful for what we've been given and we unashamedly want more. That God has given us so very much that he doesn't owe us. He doesn't owe us a good health or comfortable life or material blessings. But every new day, every dawn is a gift from God. And what is our grateful response? Is it to live a life that pleases him? And so this entire 5 weeks, I've been gripped by this idea that when the dawn comes, what do you and I do with it? When we are no longer in the difficult spot, we no longer find ourselves in that long, dark night, but we're actually in the peaceful, comfortable place of day. What do we do with the dawn? And so, as you know, we've been walking through different Psalms through this series. And so today I want to read from Psalm 118, and I'll admit to you that it is a little bit lengthier than we have been looking at over these weeks. And so I ask you to stay with me and just trust that there's rich words in here, even though it may take us a minute or two to read through it. And so we're in Psalm 118. And as I said, it has 29 verses. But listen to these words and hear them for the message that the Lord wants to give us today. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say his love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his love endures forever. When hard pressed, I cried to the Lord. He brought me into a spacious place. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I took triumph on my enemies. I look in triumph over my enemies. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in humans. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. All the nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord, I cut them down. They surrounded me on every side, but in the name of the Lord, I cut them down. They swarmed around me like bees, but they were consumed as quickly as burning thorns. In the name of the Lord, I cut them down. I was pushed back and about to fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. I will not die but live and will proclaim what the Lord has done. The Lord has chastened me severely, but has not given me over to death. Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks for the answer you've answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this and is marvelous to our eyes. The Lord has done in this very day. Let us rejoice today and be glad. The Lord saves us. The Lord grants us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine on us. With bows in hand, join in the festal procession and help the hours of the altar. The horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. So one of the things we know about this psalm is that it is one of the most often quoted psalms in the Old Testament. It's the most often quoted psalm in the New Testament, referencing the Old Testament. It's a messianic. It has lots of illustrations and lots of references to the coming of Jesus. And not that I don't want to focus on that today, and we certainly will, but I want us to understand it from how David wrote it, how David was portraying this victory in his life. And there's really three things that I want us to focus on in that entire 29 verses. The first thing we find in verse 5, it's this idea that David realizes that he was hard-pressed on every side, but then he was brought into a spacious place. So he went from this hard place, this tight place, and God brought him into this spacious place. And then in 15 and 16, he notices that the victory is only through the mighty right hand of the Lord. So you have this hard place, hard pressed to spacious, and then you have this victory coming from the mighty right hand of the Lord. And then finally in verses 24 and 25, we see this. Another translation said, "This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." So that song, it comes right from Psalm 118, verses 24 and 25. And so as we began to look at this psalm, and we begin to look at experiencing the dawn, experiencing the favor of God, what are we going to do with the light of day? The first thing that David, the psalmist, well, actually, we don't know if David or Moses wrote this, but the psalmist recognizes from the outset that his success comes through the love of God. You see in the first four verses there, it says, his love endures forever. It says it four times. There's much agreement that God's love is what brings us victory. He realizes that though last week we talked about though it lasts for a night, though the weeping, the wailing, the night lasts, there's duration. There is something that is beyond duration. There's something that's everlasting, and that's the love of God. And so we can realize that no matter what time it is, God's love remains. And so the psalmist goes to great lengths at the opening of this psalm to say that it's all about the love of God. And so as we transition into verse 5, we begin to see this idea of the dawn and victory. The psalmist knows that he has been brought out of this dark, long night. He's been brought out of that into this spacious place. From this tight gorge, he calls out to God, and now he's brought into this wide open freedom. The word here for spacious place means to breathe freely, to be revived, to have ample room, to be refreshed. You know, the Latin word vacar is where we get the word vacation from. And what vacar means in Latin is means to empty, to make space. And so that when we go on vacation, what we're doing is we're emptying ourselves. We're ridding ourselves of the things that keep us busy, and we're creating space in order to breathe, to be renewed. And so in many ways, we see this in verse 5, that what happens is that God brings us out. We recognize that we've been brought out of a dark night in order to have breath and to have life. The question then remains, what do we do with the space we have? When life is at peace and there is comfort, how do we advance during this time? When we're standing in the light of God's favor, what do we do with it? What is our perspective? I mean, is our perspective in the light of day, the dawn, the same as it was in the midst of the long dark night? And you know those people, right? Things, it doesn't matter where they're at or what they're going through. Their disposition is exactly the same. They're always sour. You know, it's like, well, I'm a Christian. And you walk up and it's like, listen, if you're a Christian, you need to have your heart tell your face. You look miserable. Like, if really Christ is living in your heart, he needs to communicate that with your face, because you look sour. You're always sad. And so what we need to realize is that we cannot forget what God did in the night when we're walking through the day. Don't forget in the day what God did in the night. We can celebrate that. Know that God has been faithful. Know that God has brought us out of something. See, so often we forget to realize that. We might be in the light of day. We might be experiencing the dawn, but we still feel like we're in the middle of the night. And that's what David is saying. Look at verse 7. The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I look in triumph over my enemies. Verse 6, it says, the Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? So he's recognizing that he's been brought out of something into a different space. He has a proper perspective. He has a sense of victory. One psychologist I read this week said this: Americans on average may be more depressed at a younger age than they have ever been. Unprecedented psychological misery in a nation with unprecedented prosperity and material well-being. We have more comfort. We have more prosperity. We live in the brightest lights of favor, but we act like it's always the middle of the night. It's always the most difficult time. We need to sense the victory. We need to have the proper positioning of our trust. Look at verses 8 and 9. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in humans. It's better to take refuge in the Lord than trust in princes. This psalmist realizes that when he's in the light, when he's in the favor of the Lord, that it's different than being in the middle of the night. So what is this spacious place? What is this time of peace and favor? What is the day to our long, dark night? I believe this spacious place that God brings us into, it's a place where God invited us and delivered us into. That do we realize that God does deliver us out of dark, long nights? He does bring us into the light. He does take us from the bad and the struggle into the blessing and the comfort. Okay, the spacious place is a place to be open-handed and let down the guard. A place of learning and growing and exploring and safety. The spacious place is a place to use our gifting and freedom to love others. A place to intentionally get outside of ourselves. Now, I realize that when we are in the middle of the night, we become very myopic. We become very concentrated on what can I do to get out of this? What do I need to do? What do I need to learn? What's God trying to teach me about me? What's God trying to teach me about Him? But church, when we walk into a new space, we need to be aware of others around us. A place we can gauge our success by kingdom standards. A spacious place is a place of opportunity. A place to find healing and let go of the hurt from the night. Do you know that some of us have been delivered from the night, we're in the day, and we're still holding on to the pain from the night? When God has delivered you, when God has given you blessing and God has given you favor, let go of the pain. Don't bring the night into the day. The spacious place is a place of rescue from the constraints of your circumstances. I mean, the psalmist realizes, and look at verse 14. The Lord is my strength and my defense. And the other version says, is my song. He's my strength. He's my song. And He has become my salvation. Can we declare that? Can you and I declare that God has indeed been faithful? He indeed has been my strength. He indeed has delivered me from something. He is the song that I sing. He is the rescuer, the salvation that I have. And that I am willing to shout and say thank you. Recognizing that God has indeed been faithful. Look what the psalmist says in verse 15. It says, shouts of joy and victory. Church, how often do we do that? Are we just too good at just struggling and grinding? I mean, I'm embarrassed by how many times when people text me and say, hey, brother, just checking on you. How are you doing? I would say more than half the time my response has some variation of I'm grinding. Because I see myself always in this category, in this struggle, dark night. Always trying to get out. And I rarely celebrate and shout for victory over here and say, no, God has delivered me. God has been good to me. I am living in the favor of God. So I will shout for joy and victory in that place where I find myself. I wonder, church, can God hear your shout of victory and joy? Can we remember what God did in the night when we're standing in the noonday sun? Because what I need us to recognize is that the mighty right hand of God has been active in your life. I may not know your full story, but you're here today. You all are dressed well. You all drove here. You all have probably eaten something this morning already and have plans to eat something else later on. We have been delivered from by the right hand of the Lord. Can you say with the psalmist, the second part of 15, the Lord's right hand has done mighty things. Can you say that today? Can you say that the mighty hand of God has been present in your life? We need to be able to recognize that. Even though there are times in our life where we doubt whether or not we're going to make it, we need to recognize that we did make it. We have been delivered. Though it's been a journey, victory is the result. Dawn is the outcome. When I was reading the Psalm 118, you may have heard a reference that was very familiar to you in verse 22. It says, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. We know that that's a very, very huge messianic prophecy. It's words that Jesus himself, on the way to Calvary, on the way to the cross, he actually shares. He's on the way to the cross. He's on the way to his death. And he's pointing out that what was initially rejected is and overlooked is going to become the essential piece to these people's deliverance. And church, that's why we praise him. We recognize that he is the one who has provided the way through and out of the night. Do you realize that? That the very thing that the very one who was being rejected, the very one that we didn't think was going to be able to deliver us, he has taken us out of the bondage of sin and addiction and shame. And he's delivered us into the glorious light of forgiveness and freedom and fullness. That's our story. That's the story that you and I have. And if you're here today and you don't know that, if you're still standing and sitting in your shame and your guilt and not thinking that anything has been done for you, I want you to know that through the cross of Jesus Christ, that which was rejected has become the cornerstone, has become the deliverer, has become the one who can rescue you. And so that's why we praise him, because he is the one who has provided the way through and the way out of our nights into a beautiful day of blessing. So on the cross in John 19:30, when he says, Tetelestai, he says, it is finished. Well, what he's saying is that I have defeated death. I have completed what I desired to do, to deliver you from the night, to deliver you from the shame, to deliver you from the guilt, and set you in a new place. And that new place is light and life and peace in your soul. So that when we come to the next verse, the Lord has done it this very day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Well, what he's talking about is that he's not just trying to make a fun church song. He's saying, listen, this is the day the Lord has made. And the way he made it was by delivering us, by going to the cross. That we have been delivered. And so today is the day that he has made, and we can rejoice and be glad in it because we have been delivered from the night into the dawn and the day. He has taken our night and he's made it dawn. He's taking our weeping and made it dancing. This day that the psalmist is experiencing is a day that he did not expect to see. But the Lord added this joyous day to his life. And so, friends, I desire talking to myself. I should, like, sit down. We need to rejoice. We need to be glad. Because God has delivered us from the night. We are in the bright sun of peace. So rejoice and be glad. Count your blessings. Accentuate the positive. Get proper rest. Do for someone else. Worship, exercise. Be enthusiastic about something. Take a break without guilt. Remember a promise of God. Give a burden away. These are all things that we do at dawn, in the noonday. Because we're not in the struggle. We're not in the midst of a long, dark night. We have been delivered out. And we know that there are going to be times and situations that take us into the night. But when we're in the day, we celebrate. And that's what the remaining part of 25 through 29 says. Basically, the psalmist is explaining that God has been good. And so we should celebrate. I read this week, and this is how I'll close, and so Kathy can come back. I read a story by a guy named Dr. Borham. And he tells of staying in a quaint old cottage in England occupied by a minister's widow. And so as he was staying, he rested for the night. And it turned out that this woman, the widow, had given him her room for the night. And in the morning, when he woke, he pulled up the blind. And he noticed something was etched in the window pane. The words etched in the glass were, "This is the day." And so he's so intrigued by that. At breakfast, he asked her about it. He asked the elderly lady about this. And she explained that her life had had many great troubles. And she found herself always afraid of tomorrow. And so one day it occurred to her, why should I be afraid of the day if he's made them? This truth that we find in Psalm 118, verse 24. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And so she wanted to remind herself every morning when she pulled up the blind, this is the day. Friends, I want you to know that no matter how long, how dark, how deep the night is, was, there is always, because this is how God set it up, there is always a dawn. There's always a morning. We just need to see it and experience it. Realizing that the Lord has made this day, and we no longer need to be afraid. We no longer need to act like we're in the middle of the night. Because this is the day that the Lord has made. He has brought you. Maybe you didn't even realize this. He has brought you from the long, dark, miserable night into a beautiful morning. Sometimes we can get just so intoxicated or so just drowned by the night that we think this is always what it's going to be like. And the craziest thing is God's already changed it, and you didn't even notice. What? The sun's up. I didn't even notice. I had been looking so long at what I had been going through and what had been happening or what happened or what they did to me. Or waiting for something from the night to clear up and to clean up. And what happens is that we missed that God already brought the morning. I don't have time, and you certainly don't have the patience to hear all my stories about how this is true in my life. But I wonder if it's true in yours as well. We've been waiting for the morning, and we just failed to recognize that it's already come. Let's pray. God, this morning, I'm grateful for your word. I'm grateful, God, that you have... I'm grateful, God, that the truth of your word is that you bring the morning. You've brought victory in our life. You have allowed us to see the morning. You have allowed us to see victory. And maybe we didn't even recognize it. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that for someone or someone's in this place, someone online, someone around the country, Lord, that they have begun, they've asked you for eyes to see the victory. They've asked you to see eyes to see the morning. And you're opening their eyes to the truth. That they're no longer in the night. They just thought they were. They had just become so comfortable and accustomed to being in the middle of the night. They didn't realize that the sun was up and that your favor was resting on them and that they were living in a comfortable and blessed place. And so, God, today I pray in Jesus' name that we would see the dawn. We would experience the dawn. We would live as children of, oh, not the night. We would live as children of the light. And we would share that light with others. Oh, thank you. Thank you for morning. Thank you for victory. Thank you for dawn. You are the God of the dawn. And we celebrate you today. In Jesus' name. Amen. So, my wife is so gracious to me. She put a little sign. Can you just kind of see the sign? So, I would be the only pastor in America who would actually have a graduate Sunday and forget the graduate gifts. So, you're like, oh my goodness, they brought me up here. I got out of bed and I didn't get a single thing from those jokers. What a bunch of cheap people. So here's the thing. We're actually way more generous and prosperous than you know. They have a really bad pastor. That's what it is. We really, on behalf of Northway Community Church, we actually do want to bless you. So why don't you guys come back up here? Isaac, Hannah, Christian, Emma, Corinne, come on. I just had to hesitate. Someone else will say it. We had to be a little bit spiritual. Give you a book. All right, here you go. Hannah. Sorry. Wow. Such a goofball. Here you go. Oh, sorry. I got nervous there. All right. Here you go. All right. Oh, you're clapping for me. Thank you. Isn't God's word so powerful? Wow. I mean, I didn't make that stuff up. That's in the Bible. That you and I, you're like, he's going to preach it again. You and I, he loves us enough to give us a victory and a morning. That's so exciting to me. Amen? Amen. We'll see you next week.